This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Now, here's the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, food psychology coach and best-selling author, Janelle McCauley.
Hi, and welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm Janelle McCauley, and I'm so glad you decided to spend the next hour with me. My promise to you is that if you join us each week, we're going to have great conversations and give you actions that you can take that will transform your health and your life. And we've got a great show for you today, so grab a pen and paper and your favorite beverage, and let's get started. Today's interview is a little bit different. Our guest has both a business and she's gone through a transformation. Our guest today is Jennifer Espinoza Goswami, a member of the National Weight Control Registry. Jennifer is passionate about sharing secrets to help people get their body back. In 2001, she lost over 100 pounds. That same year, her grandmother passed away at the age of 88, and that was really her turning point. Jennifer's grandmother was a big inspiration in her life, and she wanted to live to be an inspiration for others. To do that, Jennifer committed herself to getting healthy. She read every weight loss book she could put her hands on, but quickly realized that weight loss and the weight loss industry was failing obese people, and she needed to do something about it. So she created her company, Weightless, to share the success secrets she learned through her own experience. She's been featured in First for Women magazine and is a frequent guest on both local and national media. On today's show, we're going to be talking with Jennifer about how you can fill your plate, love exercise, and get your body back. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you so much, Janelle. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm so excited, and I love the tagline of your company, Lose to Live. And, you know, I also love the fact that your grandmother was kind of the inspiration to help you with your turning point. You're the second person I've talked to this week who has had a grandparent who has really been an inspiration to them. And, you know, we influence our children and the people that are around us so much. So I'm really excited to have this conversation with you today.
I'm excited to share it. It's something that means a lot to me, and I hope it's something that can reach out to everyone who's listening today as well.
I'm sure it can, and I know you've had such an incredible personal journey and started your weight loss kind of after going through losing your grandma and doing that. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about your background and your story and, as you would say, how you got your body back?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I like to say that I'm currently a former fat girl, and that's not because I love the word fat. I hate that word, actually. But when I lost the weight, I lost so much more than just pounds. I lost, you know, my lack of confidence in myself. I lost other things that I didn't know I was holding on to along with that weight. So I call myself a former fat girl, not because I can wear a bikini, but because I've dropped a lot of other unnecessary and unhelpful things as soon as I dropped the weight. And so I've always been that girl, the chubby, chunky, plus-size girl, just from the time, as long as I can remember. I think the last time I wore a bikini was when I was like 3 years old, and the only reason I knew I wore it is because I have old photos that show it. So I've never had that experience of being thin or skinny. I would call people who were thin sticks, because that's what they looked like to me. So, you know, that was my background. I was just always chubby, always overweight. I remember when I was in second grade, actually, we were studying weights and measurements in class. And, you know, usually in second grade, kids are about 50 pounds or so. And we were talking about multiples of 10. And one of my classmates, you know, snidely commented, "Oh, I bet Jenny weighs 100 pounds. And at the time, I was nearly 100 pounds. So, you know, it was very hurtful, and it was something that I had to struggle with because I didn't know how to stand up for myself back then. I was very young. I was very shy. And so that's my background. I just ate a lot of food, a lot of canned food, a lot of processed food. As the youngest of four children, my family was on a very strict budget, and my mom stayed home with the children until I went into kindergarten. So, you know, we had a single family income with four kids in the family, and mom did everything she could to make ends meet, which included a lot of coupons for a lot of packaged foods. So I grew up eating almost nothing fresh. I mean, you know, just to save money, mom rarely bought fresh foods because they spoiled quicker and we wouldn't eat them in time. So I ate a lot of things, and I was also a latchkey kid. I grew up in the 80s, so, you know, I would come home from school, I'd walk home from school, and I'd be the only one there in the house for a couple of hours. So I took advantage of that fact, and I would just eat. I was hungry. No one else was there. I had my pick of anything in the house. And so I just ate. And these are habits that I developed throughout time. By the time I was in college, I was 100 pounds overweight.
Wow. You know, as I listen to your story, it's really interesting because you bring some things up for me. And I'm not even sure I've actually shared these on the radio show before. But as a young girl, I was always called a big girl. I was always told I was big boned. So I can absolutely relate to what you're saying. And when you talk about the weight, my story, and I don't even know if I share this with my husband, my story is I was in, and you know those times that you can actually remember, like you remember that activity of the weights and doing that in school. We had to go in the nurse's office. I was in middle school, and I went in, and I stood on the scale, and I can't even believe I'm going to say this publicly. I was 131 pounds, and you know, which is a great adult weight, but I wasn't an adult, and that was kind of my turning point when I realized that I needed to do something, and I went on and got a lot heavier. I'm much lighter now than I was when I got married 36 years ago. I've kept off my 40 pounds over the years once I lost it. But it really shifts who you are and how you think about yourself. I still think of myself as a big girl, although people look at me and say, "You're crazy." I'm not skinny, but I'm not as big as I was, you know, many, many years ago. But it's interesting how our stories in some ways are somewhat similar.
Yeah, very much. And, you know, kids are cruel, and kids will say things to you, and that colors your perception of yourself for a long time. And it took me several years after I lost all the weight before I really, I guess, accepted or understood that I wasn't the same person anymore.
Yeah, it's really hard, and I have to catch myself sometimes realizing, wait a minute, I have changed. I am different physically, but sometimes I still, when I look in the mirror, I don't know if you get that, but when I sometimes look in the mirror, I see myself as I used to be, not as I am today, and I have to make sure and really pay attention to those things I'm telling myself and the stories in my head, because oftentimes they can take control versus what reality is.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's really important to build on those childhood experiences and not let them defeat us, but help them define who we become and what we do.
Right. And, you know, as children, we don't see things the same way we do as adults. One of the experiences I had when I was 17 really should have shifted and become my big why, but it didn't because I was an indestructible teenager. What I'm referring to is when I was 17 years old, I had to have emergency gallbladder surgery. And for anyone who doesn't know what gallstones are, it's a very painful thing that is usually brought about by poor diet and you know, improper nutrition. I was not eating properly. I developed gallstones as a teenager. And because I was so young at the time, the doctors did not want to operate on me. And it was funny because I was mad at them, like, why can't you just fix me? Why can't you just operate on me? You know, my grandma had this surgery just a year ago. Why don't you do it for me? I had a really strange attitude about it. And even when things got complicated and I needed to be in the hospital and have that removed right away. I was in the hospital for a week. I almost died. I mean, there were lots of things going on at the time, but I didn't realize how important it was, and I actually didn't lose my weight until 3 years after that incident. So it's really interesting how children perceive things a little bit differently than we do when we're adults.
They do, and those things we see as a child really frame our decisions. They frame what we think of ourselves. They frame the actions that we take. And I know one of the things we love to ask our guests is about their big why, kind of what motivates them to share their message and to get healthy and to share their message with others. And I know your grandmother played a big part in your life. So can you talk a little bit more about that, about what is your big why and how has it motivated you to live healthier and to help others get healthy?
Absolutely. This is the most special part of my story that I love to share over and over because it's about my grandmother. As you mentioned, she was a big inspiration to me. She's a Hispanic woman, and she had maybe a 6th or 7th grade education. She learned English from her children who learned it in school. So, you know, she was your classic Hispanic grandmother who would be making tamales every Christmas for the entire family. She took care of me a lot when I was growing up because when my mom returned to work, there was only half-day kindergarten at the time, so grandma would take care of me, and she would teach me how to knit, and she was just every single major moment in my life, she was there for me. So she was a huge inspiration to me. She outlived her husband. I never met her husband. He passed away of a heart attack before I was born. And so she's kind of the main part of my dad's family that I was very close to. And when I was a senior in college, she had an episode. I believe she had a stroke or something of that nature. She had been struggling with heart disease for several years, but she was a very active woman. And she had actually conquered her heart disease complications several years prior to that. She had an incident where she was in the hospital, and she recovered. And she was just a very strong woman, strong in her belief and strong in her faith in God. She was just strong in so many ways. So when she landed in the hospital when I was a senior in college, I just figured she would pull through. But unfortunately, a week after she celebrated her 88th birthday, she passed away. And I'm sad to say I wasn't able to attend her funeral. I was going to school out in Minnesota, and my family is in southeastern Wisconsin. And it was the high time for my finals, for my term papers. I couldn't take that break away from college to go to her funeral. And I still wish I could have attended her funeral. But after that moment, I stopped and I looked at myself and what I was doing, and I realized this is the heaviest I've ever been in my life. Grandma was such a huge part of my life, and I will never be that to someone, you know, as I get older, because I don't know how long I'm going to live. I may not live that long. I'll be lucky if I can make it to 50s. I'll be lucky if I can have children. I wasn't experiencing any health complications at the time, but I just really wanted to be that healthy, active role model for someone later on when I was older.
Mm-hmm. You know, what I think people don't realize is when we make a transformation in our health or we do a shift, it can impact up to 6 generations going forward. I saw that when my dad shifted his health, which is how I got to where I am today as far as business and what I'm doing and my losing weight. He shifted it because his father and grandfather and great-grandfather all had passed away at an early age. I lost both my grandfathers before I was born. And I think that people don't realize that the shift they make can pass on. So my dad shifted it. Then I'm the oldest of 9, so all 9 of us shifted it, all of our children, and now we've got grandchildren. So we're already on the 4th generation of that impact. And you sounds like you've done something very similar.
I sure hope so. I have 2 daughters at home, and I do hope I inspire them to make smarter choices. And I know I had an impact on some of my extended family members, too. My Uncle Frank, who has since passed from other complications in his life, but he was so proud of me when I was in First for Women magazine. It's a women's magazine. It's geared towards women ages 45 or so, and he was an older man in his 60s, and he bought the magazine off the shelf. He was telling the clerk at the store, that's my niece. And he was just really proud of me, and I think it encouraged him to make some smarter choices as well. And I know my immediate family are very, you know, proud of me and what I've achieved. And a lot of my family members struggle with the up and down with their weight, and you know, that's what a lot of people struggle with. That's why I wanted to share what I've learned throughout my own experiences.
And people really do notice, and I know with kids, they pay much more attention to what we do versus what we say. So it's so important for them to see us taking care of ourselves and building those healthy habits and doing that. We're going to take a real quick break, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about how you lost the weight, some of the things you did, and about your journey. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
At LifeScape, we believe in a proactive approach to your health, or whole health, which is why we created the LifeScape Online Health Store. Browse our store for the best physician-recommended nutrition, skincare, and health-related products to fit any lifestyle and budget. Have your order shipped directly to your home or pick it up at our Scottsdale office. Our goal is to provide the most trusted products to enhance your health and beauty regimen. Visit LifeScapePremier.com/store today. LifeScape, whole health for a whole life.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Jennifer Espinoza-Guasami with Weightless LLC, and we've been having a great conversation about what motivated her to lose 100 pounds and what shifted in her life. And it actually reminded me of a couple things that I had gone through as a child. So I love when we find similarities in our conversations. And I want to continue the conversation, Jennifer, having you talk about maybe what was your biggest challenge on your weight loss journey?
One of my biggest challenges was I never believed I could do it. And in some ways that how I perceived myself as I was going through the journey helped me. So, you know the saying out there, how do you eat an elephant? You eat it one bite at a time. And so the approach I took when I was trying to lose weight was not, oh my gosh, I need to lose 100 pounds by such and such a date. Instead, I said, I'm going to take one step, and I'm going to keep doing that step until I perfect it. So I took that first step, and I never looked back. Actually, the first step I took was something that anyone can do. Anyone, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how busy you are, it doesn't matter how much money you have, none of that. All you need is a pen. I wrote down everything I ate for 1 month. And through that process, I became aware of how much I was eating and what I was eating. And so I tweaked what I was doing, because you're probably not going to eat, you know, a turtle cheesecake if you know you're going to write it down in your journal that you ate it, or you might have a smaller piece of it. So with small little shifts, I wasn't even really trying to meet certain targets for calories or anything like that. Small little shifts so that I didn't have to write it down, I lost 20 pounds in 1 month.
Wow. That's amazing. And I think it really is about awareness. So much of what we do mindlessly, we do it unconsciously, we're grabbing and not even paying attention. How many times have you heard people say, you know, what happened to the bag of cookies? I didn't realize I just ate a whole bag of chips, because we do it and don't even pay attention. And it's really about mindfully eating, which is, I think, what writing it down probably it did for you, was made you very mindful about what you were doing.
Absolutely. I was becoming more mindful of it, and I was learning to recognize what hunger was. When I was at my highest weight, I was probably eating upwards of 3,000 calories a day, and I don't even want to guess how many fat grams I was eating. You know, I have a greater awareness of what I'm eating now, but I was, my typical day would be maybe 3 or 4 bowls of cereal in the morning, you know, Frosted Flakes or Cocoa Puffs or something horrible like that, full of high fructose corn syrup and all those things. Lunch would be some sort of canned food or frozen pizza, and then I would have dessert every time I ate, because, you know, that's what you do. You deserve a treat once in a while. Only I did it all the time. And then I would have a big dinner, and then I'd have dessert again. And then, because I was staying up late at night, I was in college, I would eat a midnight snack, and just I was constantly eating. And I wasn't eating for hunger. I was eating for taste buds. I wasn't eating right. I was eating right now. So as I became more aware and I started writing down what I was doing, I was creating a different sort of habit. I wasn't eating just because I felt like it or because it would taste good. I was eating because, it's time to eat and I'm hungry.
I find that people really have a difficult time telling the difference between physical hunger and emotional hunger. And it sounds like you were eating a lot for emotional reasons or satisfaction versus actually needing food for fuel.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm one of those girls, I'm not just an emotional eater. I'll eat for any reason. It doesn't matter what the reason is. If I'm happy, I'll go treat myself to an ice cream. If I'm sad, I'm going to eat a bunch of salty snacks at night. If I'm any emotion or any stage I'm in, unless I'm extremely focused on something that matters a lot to me, I'll eat. And like you said, it's all about awareness. I didn't realize that that's what I was doing. And you also asked about, you know, challenges. One of the challenges, especially for people who are first starting to lose weight and have made the commitment to themselves, not everyone around them has made that same commitment. So they will have people push food on them, whether it's their family members, their office, you know, teammates, people at school. Everyone pushes food on you because we've been taught that food is love. And I still believe that food is love. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, you have to pick and choose how much love you take. And there are other ways to get love as well. Just ask for a hug instead of an additional helping of pie, you know. So it's very difficult for our society to separate food from love.
So you did your journaling, and how did that help you get a handle on kind of your emotional eating, whether it was for being sad or happy? So how did you overcome those urges for that, you know, the salty foods or the sugar, and stop eating and grabbing those foods?
Well, you know, there are two different approaches to how you handle your emotional hunger. You can go cold turkey, or you can just slowly ease out of it. And for me, after I took that month of awareness and writing down things, I decided to go cold turkey with a couple of things that I knew were triggers for me. So I developed awareness around foods that just fired me to eat more and more and more of it. You know, that old commercial from Frito-Lay's, you can't eat just one. I knew which foods those were for me. And so I knew to completely avoid those foods for a short period of time. I didn't say I would never again eat a piece of cake. But I said, while I'm trying to adjust how I live my life, I'm not going to touch those foods for a while. And that helped me as well. But I did take a type of Weight Watchers inspired diet. I was too cheap to buy into the program. There was no online program at the time, and I didn't have a lot of money, but my sister had gone through Weight Watchers, and I know that they counted, it was before their points system, so they counted calories, fat, and fiber. So that was kind of like my first attempt at losing the weight. I said, okay, I'll keep it 2,000 calories or less, 50 grams of fat or less, and 25 grams of fiber or less. Hopefully more for the fiber in one day. Mm-hmm. And so those were kind of my initial targets. And it has changed throughout the years. I have done everything from bodybuilding type diets where it's protein in every meal and you eat 6 times a day to currently I'm a vegetarian. So, you know, I've changed my focus on foods just to, you know, shake it up and make sure that my body has adjusted to what it needs to. But that was the initial approach I took with it.
Do you find that your kids grab certain foods, or do they pretty much model what you do?
It has been challenging to cascade to my children just because I turned vegetarian recently and my children love meat. So they do model my behaviors to some extent. For example, if I make a new dish, and even if it is all vegetables, if I disguise it in certain ways, they will try it. And and that has been very inspirational for me as well, because you know, it is always a challenge to feed your kids veggies. And one time I made some cauliflower and carrot fritters that I sautéed in a pan with some really tasty sauce with it. My daughter ate up the whole thing. I mean, I couldn't even take it away from her. So that felt really good for me. It was a good way to make vegetables less intimidating, because when I grew up, vegetables were something you pushed away to the side and ignored for as long as you could. It was something that came out of a can. It was something that had maybe salt and pepper and butter, but nothing else. And I think, you know, eating tuna and salad all day never excites anyone. And in my opinion, is food should be full of flavor.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to expose your children to different things. And also, if a parent, like, you're vegetarian, but also make sure that your children still get the foods they like. And there's a way to find those blends and introduce new foods to them and get them to try eating different ways, because that will really expose them to a lot more options.
Absolutely. And I'm blessed because I've had a variety of culinary experiences. You know, I grew up Hispanic, but my mother is German. So, you know, we had a little bit of mixed influences growing up and different dishes that we tried that my friends don't even know about. And then I married a man from India, so I can curry just about anything now. So my children have the benefits of all of those different culinary experiences. My older daughter loves sushi, and she loves shrimp and fish. And my younger daughter eats lentils and rice. It was one of her favorite dishes. So I'm really happy that we have more of a kind of a worldwide experience at home. And that's also one of the reasons why I think food is full of flavor, because you have to use more than just salt, pepper, and butter. There are other spices you can use, which can benefit your health in other ways as well.
Absolutely. And I always think that's interesting when kids who are raised in the same house have different preferences. But that has to do with our taste buds, with our chemistry, our body, how we're made. And I think it's important to honor that and just expose them to different foods. And I know a lot of people, weight issues start in childhood, and unfortunately in the U.S. we're facing childhood obesity epidemic. Just, it's really bad. So as a former, and as a former obese child, what would you tell a parent to do when it comes to children and their health and weight issues?
I'm glad you asked that. I wrote a blog post about this. I have an active blog at weightlesschronicles.com, and I love to write about some of the experiences I had, especially as an obese child, because it's challenging. And when I was growing up, there weren't a lot of obese children. Unfortunately, like you mentioned, it's more common today. And what advice I shared with parents on my blog was, an obese child's biggest enemy is often themselves. And I had mentioned with my experience with the surgery, I didn't think I had a problem. And as a parent, and I myself have two children who are under the age of 12, you know, I know how challenging it can be to gently coach children into the ways you want them to go. But what's most important is they don't want your pity. They don't want your shame, your guilt, or your scorn. And it's so important to lead with love and understanding. One of the things I hated to be told when I was growing up was, are you sure you should eat that? Or, oh, don't you think you've had enough of that? Or pointing out what other people might see you. Like if you're at an all-you-can-eat buffet and someone might be looking, you know, out of the side of their eyes at you, having your parent actually say, oh, did you see the way the person looked at you? That is not helpful at all. And, you know, children probably know that they're not doing the right thing, but they need to be led in a more gentle approach when they themselves are probably struggling with body image issues, especially girls.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to help give them the right information and the tools so that they can make a good decision and understand how those decisions impact their health and understand that they really control that. We're going to need to take another short break, but when we come back, I want to continue this and talk a little bit more about habits and identifying what those are and triggers, and then talk a little bit more about your journey. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Jennifer Espinoza-Guasami with Weightless LLC, and we've been having a great conversation on children and healthy eating and her journey of losing 100 pounds. And before the break, we were talking about habits, and I love the way, Jennifer, that you shared about develop awareness. That's the most important thing. And for you, you went cold turkey on a few things. I know there are some foods that are trigger foods for me, and I know if I eat one, I can't stop. So I'm very aware of what those foods are. So I love the fact that with your journaling, you really paid attention to what those were. And changing habits is really all about recognizing what triggers are for you. And for all of us, they're different. Do you have any other tips that you would recommend for people to develop that awareness or to really identify what some of their triggers might be?
Absolutely. When it comes to eating, eating is kind of a loaded activity. There could be so much else tied into it. And I'm of the opinion that food is not just fuel. Food is fun. Food is flavorful. But in order to find healthy food that's fun and flavorful, you have to experiment. And one of the things I never realized, because I grew up eating a lot of processed and canned foods, I never realized how tasty food could actually be. And I'm not saying, you don't necessarily have to go out and hit the farmer's market and get organic vegetables every time you shop, but you do have to experiment with not just different types of food, but different types of way to prepare the food, to season the food. And that way you can find, I hate to say substitutes, but you can find tasty foods that you really love and would prefer to have instead of your trigger foods. For example, I know there are a lot of substitutes available out there, but if you like ice cream, maybe look at frozen yogurt instead, or maybe find something that has the same texture or consistency. I mean, maybe if you freeze ricotta cheese, you could have a similar texture and consistency. And also, explore different flavors, but one of the things that has been interesting for me since I turned vegetarian is I don't really miss meat. And I never thought I would say that because I'm a Midwestern girl. I grew up eating pork and beef just about every day. I love my milk. I'm from Wisconsin. I'm a cheesehead. So I never thought it would be easy to be vegetarian, but there's this other sense that's activated, which is called umami. And the Japanese came up with that term. But you can eat plenty of vegetables that satisfy your umami taste. And as long as you do that, you're exploring different textures and feelings within your mouth. And that way, you find foods that are more appealing to you than what you thought used to be your favorite.
No, I love that. And I think just finding different kinds of substitutions, like making fruit popsicles instead of eating ice cream, one of the tips that my sister did with her kids, and I love it, and my grandkids love it, are freezing grapes. So you're getting that cold and a little bit different texture, and finding ways to do things like that that are seen as treats without being high calorie, you know, packaged or processed foods.
Absolutely. One of the top tips I tell my clients when it comes to enjoying their vegetables again, because I used to hate vegetables when I was growing up. I made a declaration when I was 18 that I would never eat anything green again. And look where that got me. That was a horrible decision, and I will not make that decision again. But the way I recommend that clients make their vegetables more flavorful is to roast them. So you just chop them up into pieces, you put it on a cookie sheet, put some olive oil, your seasoning of choice, and put it in the oven for about 15 to 20 minutes at about 425 degrees. I recommended that to a couple of people, and they said that their kids polished off the whole cookie sheet of vegetables. I mean, there are ways to make them super tasty, even so your kids will like it.
There are. And one of the things we've added in the last couple of years are some really high-quality, flavorful olive oils that are infused with an herb or that are really good, and they change the flavor and enhance the flavor of food so much, and you just need a tiny bit. And we've been using a lot of herbs in our cooking. Again, it gives you really strong pops of flavor without adding sodium and adding the things that aren't good for you.
Absolutely. It's all about enjoying what you eat.
It is. That's why I love when you say it should be fun and flavorful. I think if people think about that when they're eating something, it will really change the way they start to approach food. I want to ask you, on your weight loss journey, what were a couple of the maybe biggest challenges, and what did people around you say when you lost that weight and started to lose weight? Did you get support, or what was their reaction?
This is interesting because I was a single person who had just graduated college, and you know, my folks and family are in Wisconsin, so they didn't see me very often, maybe a couple times a year. So I lost the bulk of my weight in 1 year, and they pretty much saw me as my after. You know, they didn't see me along the process. And I had some friends who were there with me and had known me since high school and realized what changes I was going through. But for the most part, it was me. So I didn't have the challenges that some people might have where they're trying to eat healthy, but everyone around them doesn't care so much. And I really sympathize with that, because you do need to find support. Whatever that support feels best for you. For me, I was very determined. I wrote down what I was going to do, and I did it. If I didn't do it, I just picked myself up and said, I can do this. And from time to time, if I needed a shot of motivation, I'd call up a friend. I'd say some of the struggles I was going through. But again, it comes back to the small changes, and I like to talk about this a lot on my website as well. It's just, you have to take it one small step at a time. If I had told you 15 years ago when I was at my highest weight that I'm going to eat clean and I'm going to be a vegetarian, it never would have happened, or it would have lasted for maybe 3 weeks. So I like to explore lifestyle changes and healthy habits, because, yes, you can decide that you're going to eat all the superfoods that Dr. Oz tells you to eat, but, you know, it's going to be a short-term thing, and really you have to find what works for you. And for me, it was just taking small changes at a time, and once I mastered those changes, then I was able to move on to the next challenge. And this is really important, because you have to take it at your own pace. I can't tell people what to do and when to do it. I'm not people's mom, and I don't want to be. But I do help people customize their new habits for a healthy lifestyle and meet you where you are. Not everyone is at the same place. I know some clients who are already eating 90% clean, which means whole, unprocessed foods, but maybe they want to tweak it a little bit. They're at a different stage in their journey than someone who eats everything from McDonald's, you know, on a daily basis. So everyone has their own starting point. Just be aware of where you are.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we teach people in our Eat Great, Live Well program is to make sure that you identify what you know, a couple of those big challenges are, and then put something in place to overcome them. So what we do is, people often say dinner time is really hard because they've got kids and they're coming in from work and they're tired. So we get people to write down 10 of their favorite recipes and keep them handy and make sure they keep food in the house so they can quickly make those things that are easy to make, that aren't, you know, aren't bad for them or that they enjoy. And by doing that, it keeps them from grabbing and going or ordering fast food or running out to a restaurant. By just even one step like that, looking at what those issues are and then putting something in place to help them overcome it really helps quite a bit.
Absolutely. And for anyone who's listening who thinks that it's so much easier to go pick up something that is quick and easy and affordable and all that stuff, just think about every time you pick up fast food or every time you pick up something that you did not make in your own kitchen with Whole Foods, think about how you felt an hour after you ate. Do you want to feel that way every day? Or think about how you feel when you make your own food at home and your kids have sat down and had proper nutrition. How does that feel as opposed to how you feel if you end up eating a lot of takeout? I mean, it's a totally different feeling you have. I don't think I've ever eaten at a fast food place and been like, wow, I feel so great within an hour of eating. Like, it just doesn't normally happen because who knows what's in that food.
Yeah, it has a lot of preservatives and sodium and sugar. And I also tell parents, too, because we're really pressed for quality time with our children, that cooking is a great way for the kids to learn about foods, but also learn about science because they're learning about how foods interact and how they mix together. Math, because they're cutting, they're measuring. And then reading, because they're reading recipes. And children are much more likely to make and eat something that's healthy if they got to pick out the recipe.
Oh, absolutely. Both my daughters have been baking with me since they were about 2 or 3 years old. And there are applications for it for your older children as well. Have them look on Pinterest and find some fun recipes. Have them read out the instructions to you. You know, there's something anyone can contribute to creating the food. And you're right, it does make them more interested and motivated to eat what you come up with.
So it's great that you cook with your kids, that you really use that time to build quality time and also teach them about healthy eating and just get them interested in cooking, because I think there's so many kids today that haven't had that exposure. So if that's one challenge I can put out to our listeners, if you're not doing it, try it. It's a great way to have some fun time. And I do it with my grandkids. We love time in the kitchen and they love to pull up a stool and help. So it's a great way to just continue building that relationship. We're going to take our final break, and when we come back, I want to just talk a little bit more about healthy eating and what people can do to really take control of their decisions. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Jennifer Espinoza-Guasami with Weightless LLC, and I've really enjoyed the conversation on losing weight, on building healthy habits, and some of the challenges that go with losing weight. And I want to ask you, Jennifer, what else changed when you lost 100 pounds? Because I know that's a lot to lose, but what else changed in your life besides just reaching your healthy weight?
Thank you for asking, Janelle. This is actually one of my favorite things to answer, because especially if you grow up being a little bit chubbier than everyone else around you as a child, it's so tough to find clothes that fit. And when you are able to lose weight, you actually start getting access to cute clothing, especially for you women out there. I don't know if you've had experiences like this, but, you know, when I was growing up, the best thing I could find was these, like, knee-length black or gray shapeless tunics for for the top, and then you're lucky if you can squeeze into a pair of jeans, but it's probably not going to happen, so you have to do, like, leggings or stretchy-type spandex material to wear for your pants. And it was just, it was a horror. I hated to go clothes shopping. I probably made my mom miserable every time she said I needed new clothing. And after I lost the weight, I became like a clothes horse. I loved to go shopping. I found cute stuff everywhere I was going. It was fun to get a bathing suit that, you know, accentuated all my curves and all my good parts, and I just felt so happy. I had such a great experience with that.
I love that. I can picture you shopping and just really enjoying it, and probably picking out more. Did you pick out more colorful things? Things that maybe brought attention to you that you would have ignored before?
Right. Well, I've always loved color. It just never seemed to be available in my size before, but now I wear more form-fitting clothing. You know, back in the day, I used to do special stretching techniques so that a double XL would fit me, but now I wear stuff that's not tight, but it's comfortably, you know, to my body, and it shows off what I look like, and I'm very confident in myself, so that it doesn't bother me. I love it. I love to, you know, flaunt what I have and just be happy with how I am.
I love that, because it sounds like not only did you finally shed the weight and reach a healthy weight, you really gained, you know, you gained a lot more in the process, which I think is so neat. There's so many things that go into really getting healthy and finding your healthy weight. You know, I want to ask you, from personal experience and your experience as a coach and working with clients, how much of a factor does food play into weight loss compared to exercise?
That's a fantastic question, and it comes up a lot in the weight loss community. And it is a fact that you won't necessarily lose weight if you exercise, but you cannot lose weight without eating properly. So exercise is what they call a keystone habit. If you pick up exercise, it's going to inspire you to eat better. It's going to inspire you to have more energy. In fact, I like to tell my clients that energy doesn't come in a bottle. It comes from movement. It comes from walking more. It comes from standing more. It comes from finding ways throughout your day to just be energetic. That's where energy comes from. But when it comes to your diet, you absolutely must eat properly, because you can't out-train a poor diet.
Oh, I love that statement. You can't out-train a poor diet. I love that. And really getting and moving more. I think we tend to get at our desk and we sit. And I know I'm guilty of that from time to time, of just sitting too long and not getting up and moving. You know, so we'll try to walk to the mailbox and get out of the house a little bit. And and do some even simple stretching. It doesn't have to be much. Just start moving.
Absolutely. And I like to tell people that you can escape the gym. You don't have to exercise in the gym. In fact, I feel that gyms can be demotivating in many ways, and their membership costs are perhaps expensive for some. So I like to say you can find exercise wherever you are in life. It can be at your house. I have a set of dumbbells I use at home, and I strength train using a set of dumbbells and a resistance band. I do it at home. I don't have to feel like I need to commute an hour to the gym. I don't need to worry about fitting it in during my lunch hour. But I also find those opportunities, like you said, to just get up, walk around. There's some research out there that's trying to say that sitting is the new smoking, and I think perhaps it's a little bit overblown, but it is true. Humans are not designed to be sitting for 14 hours a day, and most of us are on our screens or our devices during the time when we're not actually at work. So that's a lot more sitting time. If you have a commercial break during your favorite TV show, stand up, do a couple of squats, do a couple push-ups, maybe a couple sit-ups. That's movement. That will help you get closer to your goal.
I love that recommendation. Now, do you find having lost the weight, do you find that you use the scale? Do you use your clothes to make sure you're staying where you want to be? What things do you do to keep from putting it back on, besides, you know, paying attention to what you're eating? Do you ever go back and journal? What do you do?
That's a fantastic question. And one of the things that has been the most helpful, you had mentioned in my introduction that I'm a member of the National Weight Control Registry. And what that means is the registry tracks the habits of people who have kept at least 50 pounds off for at least a year. I've been a member of this for several years now, and I submit surveys every year to tell them what my habits are. And one of the most important things in terms of keeping weight off is to regularly check your progress. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm still writing down everything I eat, because that's tedious, and I already know when I'm doing well and when I'm not doing well. But I still weigh myself weekly. And that's not because I want to, you know, I'm not a glutton for punishment. It's not because I'm going to cry about it because maybe I'm 3 pounds up. No, I'm aware of my body's fluctuations, and I weigh myself just to make sure that I can catch anything that my clothes may not be able to feel yet. You can gain 5 pounds, and your clothes will still fit you okay. But, you know, it depends on where you are in your journey as well, because some people find that measuring their body fat is more effective, or their clothes size. Maybe they have a really bad relationship with the scale, and that's fine. There are other ways you can measure. For me, I usually use the scale, or if I feel my clothes are getting a little tighter, then I'll know it's time for me to perhaps, you know, measure my portions again or be more conscious of what it is I'm doing or not eat as many treats.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think another thing people can do, too, is, you know, we all love our cell phones. You can always just, when you're, you know, snap some pictures from time to time and look at them, not to be judgmental, but just take a look at them and see, you know, how your clothes are fitting. Because I think we often, I know I have been guilty of it. You tell yourself it's okay, but when I look at a picture, I'm thinking, wait a minute, I should have felt that, and I did. I just ignored it, but the pictures helped me from ignoring some of those things.
Absolutely. And sometimes if you need a little confirmation of your suspicions about your pictures, get out a tape measure. And that's also motivating for some people, because especially if you're lifting weights and you're training to build your muscle, which is important mm-hmm. for anyone who's over the age of 35, you should train your muscles on a regular basis. Getting out a tape measure, yeah, it shows you how many inches you're reducing, which is fantastic, because you might be able to see, oh, my shoulders look a little more sculpted today. But when you get the tape measure out, you're like, yep, they definitely are, and I can see continuous progress every time I measure.
Absolutely, and it's really about finding what method works for you to keep on top of it and keep track of it, whether it's weighing yourself once a week, whether it's tape measure, whether it's taking a picture, whether it's your clothes. It's really important to do that. I want to ask you also, a lot of health coaches either include certain product or supplements as part of their program. Do you recommend or require clients to buy any products or supplements when you're coaching?
My philosophy when it comes to weight loss is you already have everything you need. You have your body, You have some basic knowledge. I can help you expand that knowledge, but you don't need to buy anything special. Weight loss does not come in a pill, in a drug, in a supplement. Those things can maybe help you if you have some other physical challenges, but they're not going to be the ones that cause weight loss. And I think a lot of people want to turn towards, you know, liquid options like smoothies or juicing or things like that. And my philosophy on that is to eat with your teeth and not your lips. Because one of the things that helped me a lot was I stopped drinking anything that wasn't water. And that's very helpful if you can ditch the soda, if you can ditch the super high-calorie Starbucks Frappuccinos, ditch anything through a straw, and you will see progress.
Oh, I love that tip. And I absolutely agree with you about supplements. And I think people are looking for that quick fix. They're looking for the magic pill, and it doesn't exist. That's why they can't find it, and they keep searching. I've really enjoyed our conversation today, and we've, you know, talked about a lot of different things. Can you tell our listeners how they can learn more about you and how they can connect with you?
Absolutely. I have a website at weightlesschronicles.com. And for all the listeners today, I want you to know, you know, it's not easy to lose weight, and I understand that. So I do have a lot of free resources on my website. Connect with me on my blog. Connect with me on social media. But if you want personalized and customized attention, I have a free session where I'll talk with you for 30 minutes. It's called a discovery session. If you would like to get on a phone call with me and talk about how I can help you meet your needs, I would be more than willing and happy to do so. To get the schedule for that session, you go to bit.ly/bodybackcoaching. And you can schedule it right there a couple of times on the calendar. I really do feel that, you know, there are plenty of resources out there. I kind of filter and narrow down the information that's available and make it very simple for you. So you can get all of that on my website. Feel free to connect with me on social media, but I would love to speak to you in person on the phone and talk about what you're looking to do and how I can help you get there.
Thank you. And we will put a link so people can connect with you also on eatgreatlivewellradio.com. And as we wrap up our time together, I like to have our guests give our listeners just one action item that they can implement in the next week to start creating a healthy future for themselves and those they love. So what would you recommend they do?
I would recommend reach inside your purse, reach inside your pocket, and pull out just one tool. Pull out a pen. That can change your life. It changed my life when I lost those 20 pounds that first month because I was writing down what I ate. And, you know, you can use technology. There's MyFitnessPal. There's Lose It. There's lots of phone apps you can use to track what you eat. But you have to be aware of where you are today before you can create a brighter future for yourself. So by all means, just take 1 week, use a pen, use your phone, whatever works for you, but track what it is you're doing. And once you've got that information, check out my website for some resources on how to fill your plate and how to move more. Schedule a phone call with me, and let's talk about how you can be healthier and happier by the holidays.
Well, thank you so much for sharing so openly with us today, Jennifer. I think it's been a great conversation, and I can't wait to go read some more of your blogs. And I'd love to have you back to have a continued conversation on this topic.
Absolutely, Janelle. I would love to come anytime you'll have me.
Thank you. So until next week, remember that even small changes can make a big positive difference in your health and your life. Healthy choices you make every day add up over time to create a healthy future for yourselves and your family. I want to invite all of you to go to eatgreatlivewell.com and be part of our continued conversation. Click on social media and Facebook and let us know what questions you have. Until next week, have a great and healthy week and continue building a healthy relationship with food. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. Each week at this time, we bring you straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Join us next Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the EWN Radio Network.
To get a replay of this week's show, listen to past shows, or contact Janelle, go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Have a great week, and remember, you can choose to eat great and live well.